Members, I will now call the Post-Secondary Education and Workforce Subcommittee to order. Kendall, would you please call the roll?
Chair Mello?
Here.
Vice Chair Beltran?
Here.
Ranking Member Tan?
Here.
Representative Amnesty?
Here.
Representative Bell is excused. Representative Burfield?
Present.
Representative Cross?
Here.
Representative Dunkley?
Here.
Representative Escamani? Representative Esposito?
Here.
Representative Gonzalez-Pittman?
Present.
Representative Hawkins?
Here.
Representative Henson?
Here.
Representative Lopez?
Here.
Representative Plasencia?
Here.
Representative Redman?
Here.
Representative Schoaf?
Here.
Representative Temple?
Here.
Thank you, members, and by your presence, we have a quorum. Good morning, members, and good morning, visitors. Thank you all for being here today. It's a beautiful day in Tallahassee. First, I would ask that you all please silence your cell phone, just a few housekeeping rules here, and make sure you turn your mic on and you speak loudly and clearly for everyone to be able to hear you. Visitors, if we have any members of the public that wish to speak or provide testimony to the subcommittee, please fill out an appearance card. This morning, I am very excited about our presentation. In my freshman year, I had the opportunity to run 1507 with Chair Yarborough at the time. It was given to me by the speaker. I had no idea what I was taking on. All of you new members to this committee, keep that in mind, but it has been an incredible experience. I'm looking forward to the presentation. I'm very excited about it. The one thing I ask is that you would all please hold your questions to the end, and then we can address those questions. Today, we have Ms. Katie Crowfoot, the Director of the REACH Office in the Executive Office of the Governor. She will be providing us a presentation on her office's roles and responsibilities related to facilitating and the collaboration and cooperation of state and local workforce partners. Ms. Crowfoot, good morning, and you are recognized to begin your presentation.
Oh, can you hear me? Okay, great. Good morning, and again, my name is Katie Crowfoot, and I am the director of the Reimagining Education and Career Help Office within the Executive Office of the Governor. Thank you for having me here today to provide an overview of the REACH Act and its impacts on Florida's workforce development system. As most of you are aware, the REACH Act was groundbreaking bipartisan legislation that was passed in 2021. It was and is a comprehensive blueprint for enhancing access, alignment, and accountability across the state's workforce development system. The goals of the REACH Act are to improve equity and access for all Floridians to have opportunities to achieve self-sufficiency, create a system-wide approach to service delivery across multiple state agencies and partners, increase the level of collaboration and cooperation among the state's business and education communities, and provide greater accountability and transparency. Prior to the REACH Act's implementation, Florida's workforce system was working, but was siloed off. Each agency worked on their programs and collaborated when it was required. We didn't see much alignment that would impact service delivery to Floridians. The REACH Act has brought together different agencies and workforce development partners in an unprecedented way. While the partners on your screen are considered our core workforce partners, this is by no means an exhaustive list. First up is the Department of Education, a little bit of an obvious partner when we talk about workforce development and education and training. The primary entities that we work with within education include the Division of Career and Adult Education, Florida School Districts, Florida College System, State University System, the Division of Blind Services, the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, and then of course pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship programs. Next, what might seem as a slightly less obvious partner when discussing workforce development, but definitely a key one, the Department of Children and Families administers both the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program and the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families benefit for Floridians. The REACH Act places a strong emphasis in helping those benefit recipients, and we should make extraordinary efforts to support them on their path to self-sufficiency. Additionally, DCF's Hope Pathways to Prosperity Program and their Hope Navigators is a new community-led program that provides connection to services to help Floridians overcome any barriers to self-sufficiency, which may include housing, education, training, or clothing needs, just to name a few. The Department of Economic Opportunity administers the Department of Economic Opportunity administers many different programs, but those relevant to the REACH Act include the administration of the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, or WIOA. They also oversee Florida's 24 local workforce development boards, as well as housing the Reemployment Assistance Program. Also working in lockstep with DEO and the local boards of Career Source Florida, the State Workforce Policy and Investment Board. They coordinate policies for local boards and also administer training grants, including quick response and incumbent worker training grants. Again, not an exhaustive list, simply what we consider the core partners within the REACH Act. The Act also created a first-of-its-kind office within the Executive Office of the Governor, the REACH Office. The office exists to ensure a seamless, integrated experience for all Floridians to achieve economic prosperity and self-sufficiency. The office is specifically tasked with aligning and coordinating Florida's workforce development system, creating a no-wrong-door entry strategy where Floridians may access services from any workforce partner with a common intake form and case management system, increasing accountability by requiring workforce training services to be performance-based, coordinating and facilitating workforce data sharing agreements among state agencies to measure performance, and directing the objectives of the Florida Talent Development Council. While these goals are far-reaching, the office, in collaboration with our partners, have taken great strides in the past year and a half. The alignment of the system has increased tremendously. And a rather simple but impactful example is the weekly meetings the REACH office coordinates with our partners. The goals of these meetings are clear. We are to remove barriers, increase collaboration, and alignment. While our core partners are always part of these conversations, we use these meetings to make sure that our other state agency partners are included in the workforce conversation. Other agencies that have and do participate include the Department of Transportation, Veterans Florida, Enterprise Florida, the Department of Health, and this week we are very excited to begin conversations with the Department of Corrections and their work and talk more about their workforce development work. And that was based on a recommendation from a committee member. So it's great. The office also directs the objectives of the Florida Talent Development Council. The TDC is comprised of state leaders from workforce partners and industry. It is tasked with producing a strategic plan for workforce development each year. The most updated version was just approved last month and should be shared with your offices in the coming weeks. While the TDC predates the REACH Act, the Act provided additional deliverables around the state's healthcare workforce. Most notably, the TDC, with support from the REACH Office and our education partners, produced an annual report on 10-year trend data for nursing education programs. The intent of the report is to be able to better align resources to bolster the state's nursing workforce pipeline. An important partner in our workforce development system is the Career Source Florida Network, otherwise known as Florida's local workforce development boards. There are currently 24 local workforce development boards, and the boards oversee the delivery of workforce services within their local area and deliver services through over 100 one-stop centers throughout the state. You can see on the map we show the current map, as well as noting each career center. So you can see they're pretty thoroughly covering the state of Florida. Boards provide a variety of services to job seekers and to businesses with a focus on training. The boards are primarily funded through Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act from the U.S. Department of Labor. This funding is what is used to provide training and upskilling to Floridians who work with their local boards. The federal funding flows through DEO to the local boards, and DEO is responsible for oversight, monitoring, and compliance. The REACH Act focused heavily on the work of the local boards, bringing a new level of accountability and alignment to the network. In order to increase transparency and accountability, the REACH office collaborated with DEO, DOE, DCF, CareerSource Florida, and the local boards to develop the formula to assign letter grades to each board. Grades measure services to employers and job seekers with a focus on serving Floridians who receive public benefits. Baseline grades were assigned by CareerSource Florida in October of 2022, and the letters will be updated annually. Letter grades will be updated annually. Next up, the Self-Sufficiency Index. It's a tool to measure the performance of workforce-related programs and services for participants who receive public benefits. The index is measured by county on a quarterly basis based on the percent of current or former participants who stop receiving benefits and are employed 1 to 3 years after receiving benefits. The index is The index development is a collaborative effort between the REACH office, DCF, and DEO. In an effort to find efficiencies, the REACH Act also requires a reduction in the number of local workforce development boards. The effort between CareerSource Florida and the REACH office, with input from local stakeholders, will create greater flexibility and strategic investment. CareerSource Florida has contracted with a vendor to conduct stakeholder engagement, research, and analysis. We hope to be able to provide a recommendation to CareerSource Florida's board in the coming weeks. In addition to greater accountability, the REACH Act brought new levels of transparency to the boards. The Act requires boards to publicly disclose information on financial interests of board members, contracts, its annual budget, and employee compensation on its website. The REACH Act also required term limits for board members, limiting the board chair to no more than 2 years and all members to no more than 8 consecutive years. Launched in August of 2021, Get There Faster Grants use those WIOA discretionary funds for competitive grants to local boards who partnered with technical or state colleges to support initiatives that close achievement and attainment gaps for Floridians. To date, local boards have been awarded $19.1 million to support these three different populations: veterans and military spouses for $8.6 million, low-income returning adult learners for $5 million, and at-risk Floridians for $5.5 million. These are 2-year grants, and we're excited to provide outcome data and success stories in the coming months. The Eligible Training Provider List, or the ETPL, directs WIOA training resources to programs that lead to employment in high demand and high priority occupations. Providers are required to provide data to DEO in order to be eligible or remain on the ETPL. The REACH Act directed that beginning with 22-23 program year, each program offered by a training provider must meet more rigorous requirements to remain on the ETPL. These requirements account for student completion, wages, and employment. DEO is also undertaking rulemaking in order to streamline the process at the state level for training providers. We want to ensure that bureaucracy is not the reason that a training course is or is not available to Floridians. The Master Credential List is a catalog of in-demand occupational credentials. This list is used to ensure that state resources are allocated to workforce programs that result in credentials of value. The Master Credential List is a product of the Credentials Review Committee, or CRC. The CRC comprises our core workforce partners again, local workforce development boards, and private industry representation. Charged with creating the definition of credential of value and framework of quality to evaluate the credentials, and we adopted a framework of quality in December of 2022, and we're excited to say that the CRC will be meeting this afternoon to hopefully adopt the Master Credential List for program year 23-24. The Labor Market Estimating Conference provides the data to the CRC for that framework of quality, and it comprises principals from the Legislature's Office of Economic and Demographic Research, the Florida House of Representatives, the Florida Senate, and the Governor's REACH Office. The LMEC is charged with developing real-time supply-demand information for Florida's statewide, regional, and local labor markets, and the identification of in-demand, high-skill, middle-level to high-level wage occupations prioritized by level of statewide or regional shortages. In front of you is a high-level overview of REACH impacts to the Department of Education. Now, these might look familiar as they were all presented to this committee during the last meeting. So as a reminder, you have the Open Door, which provides funds to support student completion of short-term, high-demand credit and non-credit career and technical education programs at career centers and the Florida College System institutions. You have the Pathway to Career Opportunities grants, which competitively award funds for the expansion of pre-apprenticeship and registered apprenticeship programs. The Money Back Guarantee, requires each school district and Florida College System institution to refund the cost of tuition to students who are not able to find a job within 6 months of completing select workforce-related programs that prepare students for in-demand, middle-level to high-level wage occupations. And then digital credentials, which requires DOE to identify digital credentials that may be earned through the general education core courses. So while not included in the 2021 REACH Act, the Line and Pipeline programs are an exciting opportunity to expand access to nursing programs, which aligns perfectly with the goals of the REACH Act. The Linking Industry to Nursing Education Fund, or LINE, are competitive grants for districts, FCS institutions, state universities, and ICUF institutions to incentivize collaboration to combat the nursing shortage in the state. They provide matching funds to participating educational entities that partner with healthcare providers. And in the last budget, there was appropriated $25 million for fiscal year 22-23. The Prepping Institutions Program employers and learners through Incentives for Nursing Education, or the Pipeline Program, provides for performance funds for licensed practical nurse programs, LPNs, based on the following: the number of nursing education program completers by program, first-time NCLEX passage rates of the institution's nursing education program completers by program, and then excellence among nursing education programs with an average first-time NCLEX passage rate above the national average. And in the for fiscal year 22-23, there was appropriated $100 million for that program. So prior to the REACH Act, Floridians seeking services were required to engage with agencies, with an agency, and fill out different applications for each. This cumbersome and confusing for consumers and often leads to duplication of efforts and doesn't help Floridians know what services may be available to them. To address this and achieve the overarching goal of the REACH Act, the law created a consumer-first workforce system, or what we call the FL WINS program. And the legislature has appropriated over two years, $250 million for the completion of this project. The system is intended to be an innovative system that seeks to provide Floridians improved access to workforce programs and services through interoperable systems and shared integrated data. And as we look to integrate systems and share data, it's vital to have the right partners at the table. Those partners are also defined by the statute. We have DEO, the Department of Children and Families, DOE, CareerSource Florida, Florida Digital Service, and the REACH Office. The vision for the new system includes a common intake, need screening, case management, training information, performance reporting, and customer service tracking. The new integrated system will efficiently match job seekers to training and employment opportunities and other services. It will ensure that no matter which point of entry a Florida enters the system, that it's not the wrong door. The three main components of the FL WINS program are the customer portal, customer intake form, and data hub. The customer portal will enhance the customer experience through a single shared account, which provides a common access point to update information, access program information, and submit common intake applications. The portal will enable Floridians to more easily obtain the support they need by offering multiple points of entry to apply for services and receive information. The common intake form is a feature on the common portal that will collect information that is needed for all programs a Floridian might be interested in. The form will reduce duplicative information being entered by agency staff and Floridians requesting services and refer them to services targeted to meet their needs. The data hub will be created by developing the systems and data integration capabilities to share data between existing agency systems of record in an effective and efficient way, leveraging modern technologies and cloud-based solutions. It will help agencies better serve Floridians by providing a comprehensive overview of services and greater availability to link them with the services they may need. Those are the three main components, and they're the main projects of the FL WINS program. So the FL WINS program aims to minimize duplicative efforts for Floridians seeking services by utilizing that shared intake form to reduce data entry, the data hub to share information between programs, and a referral system to streamline access to the services to Floridians. So the slide in front of you is kind of sketched out what the future state might look like. And just to clarify, the kind of lime green circle at the bottom is the data hub. I think we probably can make that a little bit more clear. But that's the data hub feeding into everything else. So the FL WINS program is on a five-year schedule with the anticipated completion date of December 2026. Currently, the FL WINS program is in its first year, the planning stage, that will end next month, in March of 2023. In year two, the first year of implementation activities begins in April of 2023. The FL WINS program is currently on schedule and within cost and scope. With a program of this size spanning multiple state agencies, it's imperative to design a governance structure that is clear, flexible, and allows for each partner agency to meaningfully participate. DEO is the fiscal agent for the FL WINS funding, and they play a key role in vendor management, from running procurements to day-to-day operations. However, the FL WINS program has impacts on each of the workforce partners, systems, and processes. The governance structure accounts for that by ensuring that each agency has representation at every level of program management, down to work groups and project teams. While the lift of the FL WINS program seems large, the partners are incredibly excited about the impact that this integrated system will have on Floridians' access to workforce development services and support services. So, Chair Mello, that completes my presentation.
Thank you, Ms. Crowfoot, for your presentation. Members, I'd like to open it up to questions.
And I ask that you please stick to the scope of the presentation. We will begin with Representative Cross and then Representative Lopez. You're on deck. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Ms. Crowfoot, for your presentation. I love to see all this effort being put in to this workforce development and some of the efficiencies. Also like to commend you for looking at the Department of Corrections as a future potential partner. I had a couple questions about the Get Faster grants. And specifically, what would qualify someone to get funds through the At-Risk Floridians program?
Yeah, so the At-Risk Floridians, and you would need to be WEOA eligible, which is a pretty broad eligibility. But an at-risk Floridian would be someone that was at risk of becoming dependent on benefits. So we would want to really make sure that we are helping them achieve self-sufficiency through those grants.
Additional question?
Yes, please. So thank you, Madam Chair. Wanted to ask about the Florida Hires program, mm-hmm. if that's a component of this. I met with a constituent in my district who works to get ex-offenders mm-hmm. back into the workforce, and the way he explained it to me is that it takes some of the financial burden off of employers by having half of the wages paid for through some of these programs. I just wanted to see if that was correct and better understand how that program worked.
That sounds correct, and that's actually what we're hoping to learn more about in our when we bring on DOC into the partnership. Florida Hires has a great track record, and we are excited. It's important to be thinking about reentry and how we can help people become employed after they exit. And so that is something that I'm happy to get you more information on as we also mm-hmm. learn more about the details of the program as well.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cross. Representative Lopez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Director, for your incredibly good and comprehensive presentation today. I'm very, on slide number 7, I'm very interested in the fact that you all have adopted and created this letter grades to measure performance. And I guess my question is, in measuring the performance of the local workforce development boards, did the letter grades take into account, and I'm interested in this, obviously, not only that they obtained employment, but did their salaries increase?
Yes, Madam Chair. Yes, we do take that into consideration. In fact, the grade is weighted by 25% that to account for those increased earnings. So we look at how the wages that were being earned prior to engagement with the boards, and then we look, I believe it's 2 quarters out from services with the boards to make sure that those wages have increased. And that is a large component of the letter grade.
Thank you, Representative Lopez. Ranking Member Tant, you have a question, followed by Representative Hinson. You're recognized, Representative Tant, or I'm sorry, Ranking Member.
Whatever, I'm still Allison. So I don't care about that stuff. So thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for your presentation today. As you know, I saw you yesterday. This is a mess of passion thing for me, so I really appreciate your work. I had a quick question. Mm-hmm. In respect to the master credentials list, mm-hmm. Can you tell me about the process of compiling that list? And I particularly question, I want to know whether or not the workforce needs are driving that credentials list, because I think, and particularly if those workforce needs are driving those credentials list by region, because every region, I know what the hot, in fact, Tallahassee Community College has compiled or has created a website called Hot Occupations Now, just for this area. So I wanna talk with you about how those credentials are determined and who is helping to determine them and what the driver is. So that's my question, Madam Chair.
You're recognized, Ms. Crowfoot.
Thank you. So. Great question. We have a pretty robust system for creating the master credential list. We are dependent on data provided by the Labor Market Estimating Conference, and so far that data has been mostly at the state level. So for this first iteration of the master credential list, which we will hopefully be approving today, we've created an iterative process to the development of the list, and we've first taken a look at the statewide data. So what you'll see on the master credential list today is credentials that meet that statewide data. Tomorrow, we are actually opening up a portal. CareSource Florida will be opening up a portal to account for local demand. So we are encouraging local boards and institutions to, if they don't see something that's on that list because it didn't, that data wasn't reflected from a statewide perspective, to submit through the portal evidence that there is that local demand, that businesses, you know, are hiring certain industries. So that's how we're hoping to account for that local demand and make sure that the master credential list is flexible. We also have the opportunity to update that list quarterly, or we have to update it quarterly. So that gives us a lot of flexibility with the locals, that if there's an emerging need, that we can be, the master credential list can be responsive to that as well.
Follow up, Representative?
I have another question a little bit further down. When we're talking about the grants awarded to high schools, career centers, et cetera, one of the things that I learned about recently, we have a work group here that I'm part of in Tallahassee, is the Florida Works prerequisite certificates, essentially, which is the soft skills credential, which relates to communication, you know, customer service, and basically how do you resolve a conflict with a difficult customer, essentially. And then the second cert, which is basic math, English, and how do you read a graphic. So the question that I have is, in respect to the high school teaching, career center teaching, are we including those certificate skill teaching in the program so that we can be more successful in getting kids, getting students and adults ready to sit for the rest of the things that Florida, that the DEO does? So that's my question.
Okay. And I don't know off the top of my head, but I would love to meet with you after this and get more information from the team.
Thank you, Ranking Member Tant. Representative Henson?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the presentation. And may I say, Madam Chair, I've learned so much to help me in my district by sitting on this committee. I just want to commend you for the presentations you brought to us and the information that I've learned, because it's an essential absence of a lot of things in my district that this information has helped me provide. I have several questions. I hope you'll indulge me. One is on page 7, you talk about realignment. Mm-hmm. Is there an effort to consolidate career source regions in that realignment?
Madam Chair, yes, the REACH Act directs us to consolidate the local workforce development boards. Also, WIOA, the federal regulations that oversee the boards as well, give the state the ability to realign. So CareerSource Florida, over the better part of the past year, has undertaken a pretty great effort to engage with local stakeholders to better understand the needs of local areas so that they can create a recommendation for what a realigned local workforce development board map might look like.
And will we as representatives have anything, can we participate in that? Because I've been working very closely with mine, and mm-hmm. I'm a little scared about what's about to happen to mm-hmm. the work I've done.
So we have, CareerSource Florida has undertaken a pretty great stakeholder engagement effort. They've predominantly been working with the chief local elected officials in the regions, and I think they've engaged with some members of the House and Senate. But we would love to talk more with you as we
Thank
develop
you.
Those recommendations.
So local organizations, and under some of my work with CareerSource, have been offering to our youth summer apprenticeship-type opportunities. Mm-hmm. And some of those organizations have come to me and said they may not be eligible this summer. Is that because of this master credentials list?
What
could be the problem?
I would have to dive in potentially, but I would love to dive in more afterwards and get
wonderful.
You down
I
to the bottom of that.
I might just need to have a meeting with you
yes.
about some of this stuff, because I really do want to know how to access these impact grants mm-hmm. that you talked about. So let's just schedule a one-on-one.
That sounds
thank
great.
You, Madam Chair, and thank you for all this information.
Thank you, Representative
yes.
Henson. Next, we have Representative Redman, followed by Representative Escamani.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Director. That was a very comprehensive overview, and certainly I appreciate all the information you've given us. As a matter of fact, Madam Chair, a lot of my questions have already been answered, so very comprehensive indeed, and thank you for that. Yeah. I do have one question, though, that pertains to me as a physician. Okay. So So as a physician looking to combat the nursing shortage in this state, I'm referring to slide 12. You mentioned the line fund and the pipeline funds. I was wondering if you could also educate me on the source of those funds and whether those funds are recurring, the appropriations for those.
So I don't believe that they're recurring, but again, last year there was the combined $125 million, and I believe that in the governor's rec budget that was just released that we recommend funding again.
Well, again, thank you for all you're doing to help combat that shortage. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Representative Redmond, for your questions. Next, we have Representative Eskamani, followed by Representative Amnesty.
Thank you so much, Chairwoman. Thank you so much. And thank you to our director for stopping by my office. And sorry I didn't have a chance to follow up. It's been a wild special session. So a few quick questions, but thank you again for all your leadership. I was curious, for the Workforce Development Boards, can you remind me, is it a mixture of federal and state funding? And if so, what is that breakdown, just for my context?
It's predominantly federal funding. So there's the WIOA funding. Then there's also the Wagner-Peiser funding. So Wagner-Peiser is more of direct services, like support with resumes, things like that. And then you also have some SNAP programs, as well as some TANF programs at all. And I can get you the breakdown of all of that funding.
That's fantastic. And has there been any conversation of increased federal funding over the years, or has that budget line stayed pretty constant, or any discussions of decrease, out of curiosity?
Not discussions of decrease. I think we look at that based on unemployment rates and things like that. So that would be at the federal level, but we can get you more information.
Thank you. Along the same line, so the unemployment rate across the country is fairly low right now, but wages are pretty stagnant. And so I am curious about the intersection between folks who already have a job, but it's not a well-paying job, or maybe they're in the service economy and, you know, they're trying to seek another opportunity. I mean, is that the focus as well of the workforce boards? Maybe you speak more to just how are we assisting, because I think that's also a very common scenario today in Florida too.
Yes, definitely. Thank you, Madam Chair. So we, the local workforce boards also work with current businesses to upskill their employees. And also, you don't have to be a current employee to have some credentials and come to a career source board and them help you figure out that path. So you might not be making the wages that you want to make now. Let's get you trained up and get you that credential that can lead you to that next step. That's another great focus of the boards.
And then, Chairwoman, I just have one more question. That's okay. Sorry, I forgot to go through you. Thank you. Shifting to the Florida WINS program, so looking at slide 13, I really appreciate the collaborative effort noted, because we do often exist in silos in any government structure. Could you describe to me more, just what does that alignment look like? Are there monthly meetings? You know, what does that operationalize as? And then while you're in that category, you know, my understanding, a lot of our departments are understaffed right now themselves, in particular DCF and DEO, just when it comes to basic processing of food stamps, of unemployment claims. And so how has that impacted just the flow of individuals even being able to tap into the portal and these systems? Because for context, in our legislative office, a lot of folks who contact us, they can't get through these agencies. And so their ability to then get through to the work that you're doing is limited, and they can't get through the agency in the first place. And so I'm wondering if any of those discussions are happening in some of those collaborative spaces.
You're recognized.
Okay, so I'm going to take that as kind of two separate questions. So the first question being, how do we collaborate among all of the different partners? So we spent a lot of time and a lot of conversations about setting up a governance structure that would make sure that all of those partners were at the table from the top all the way down to the bottom. So we have an executive steering committee that includes the secretaries and leadership of all of the core partners. They come together quarterly or as needed to get updates. And so that executive steering committee are the ones that if anything's going off the rails, if we're out of scope, if we're over budget, that's who's handling those decisions. But then we also have kind of that programmatic leadership underneath there. And while I mentioned that DEO is responsible for kind of the day-to-day operations as the point agency, they're dealing with the vendors. We also have at the table our other partners there as well. Because as I mentioned, we are making changes to not just DEO system, but other partner agency systems, and we need to make sure that everyone is bought in. So really a very thoughtful approach to making sure that everyone is at the table. And so, and I think you asked, like, is that a weekly meeting, monthly meeting? There are many meetings. So we have lots of meetings to make sure that we're on track. Jackie Schaefer in the Reach office collaborates with DEO, talks to DEO multiple times every day, and is also in contact with our partners at other agencies every day, making sure that we are all on the same page and that we're removing as many barriers to this project as possible. It's a huge lift trying to share data. There's a lot of federal regulations that we're trying to work through to make sure that Floridians, there's data privacy issues. We want them to be safe, but we also want to have a full picture to be able to help them in a seamless way. So that's to the kind of collaboration piece. Then the second to kind of access to services. We've also taken an approach where we are procuring vendors that are going to do this work, and we know that the staff at DEO and DCF and DOE, they have full-time jobs. They have work that they need to do. So we're trying to bring in the subject matter experts as necessary, but not put that work on to those staff members. So really trying to take a conscientious and thoughtful approach to the development of the system.
Thank you, Representative Escamani. Representative Amnesty, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Director Crowfoot, thank you so much for the presentation. Truly, education is the key to successful societies. In regards to slide 12, can you talk about the importance of increasing clinical opportunities for our nursing students and the role of your office in facilitating dialogue among our nursing schools and healthcare partners to increase these opportunities as we have a strong nursing shortage?
Thank you. Thank you for the question.
Recognized.
So the REACH office, we have in statute, we are directed to look at the clinical placements for nursing, and we understand that is a huge issue. So we've undertaken many conversations trying to get to kind of the root of the matter, and we recognize that there are regional clinical placement systems that are working. And so as part of the pipeline funding, we made sure that those institutions are able to use those incentive dollars to pay into these already existing regional placement activities or systems, so that they can make those connections more seamlessly. Secondly, we also know we need more clinical placements. So one of the very kind of cool things that happened at one of our meetings was we brought Department of Health in, and Department of Health was talking about how they really need help at their county health departments. And so we were able to, because the right people are at the table, make an instant connection between Department of Education and DOH to start working to build out clinical placements at our department, at our county health department. So we're really excited about the opportunity, and we think that's going to make a huge impact on increasing the nursing pipeline.
Follow up?
Thank you so much for all those details. I have another question, if I can be recognized.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On slide 13, in regards to Florida Winds, it seems like a large-scale project. You talked about a five-year schedule. Is it currently on schedule? Is everything aligned, or is there anything else that you want to add and provide details?
You're recognized. Sure.
Yes. So happy to report that as of right now, as of today, we are on track. We are in scope, and we are within budget. So far, we have had three procurements. We have three vendors that have either been onboarded or are onboarding, and then we have three more to go. So the next step will be onboarding a system integrator, and then a data hub, and then a portal vendor. So we're really excited about that, and happy to be on schedule.
Thank you, Representative Amnesty. And next, we have Representative Burfield. You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question in reference to slide 7. A question I frequently ask, and that is, so you've given the letter grades, but I wasn't clear on what I call the so what. So what do you do with the letter grades? Why is that relevant?
Great question. So the letter grades are important because we have the local workforce development boards have performance metrics that the federal government uses to look at them and for compliance. Those incentivize certain activities and behaviors. We wanted the letter grades to, and the legislature in statute wanted the letter grades to really focus on how are we serving those Floridians and helping them reach self-sufficiency. So how are we engaging with SNAP and TANF recipients? And so we see the letter grades as an opportunity to kind of laser focus in on those types of things, those things that Florida wants to see from their local boards, and every year reflect that and make sure that everyone, especially the legislature, knows how the boards are performing.
Follow-up? You're recognized.
So if I get, let's say, an F, and Representative Pittman gets an A, and Representative Placencia gets a C. I'm sorry, go with me. Work with me here. Are there ramifications? Is there redirection of funds? What happens to either reward the one representative in the area that's doing well and the other two areas that have room for improvement?
So currently there are not those ramifications directly within statute. So we don't see those direct linkages. But in other part, in actually the realignment portion of statute, there is a section that that discusses recapture of funds for low performance. And so that is something that we would take. That's part of that conversation. The letter grades would be part of that conversation.
Thank you. Madam Chair, one more follow-up.
You are recognized.
Thank you. I appreciate it. The other question I have, and I apologize, did not catch the full name. When you were talking about how you evaluate the areas that are focused on the needs, that are the jobs that are in demand, it was a
labor market estimating conference.
Thank you.
Yes.
With that, how is that information pulled together? And I'll tell you why I'm asking that question. One of the areas, and we've alluded to it in other questions this morning, we knew as a state, approximately 2006, 2007, there was going to be a nursing shortage. We recognized that there was 65,000 shortage that was coming. Are there other areas like that that we can identify in advance so that we can prepare, work with the business community and the universities to ensure that doesn't happen to us again?
You're recognized.
Yes. So the Labor Market Estimating Conference is a new conference. So as you guys know, there are many other estimating conferences. Labor Market Estimating Conference created in 2021. It acts differently than a lot of the other estimating conferences, and its goal is something that I don't think. I mean, we've done a lot of digging, but I don't think any other state in the nation has really been able to get at what the Labor Market Estimating Conference is trying to do, trying to identify that gap analysis and look outwards 10 years and trying to figure out where are those shortages. So we've been working closely with EDR and with our partners in the House and Senate on developing that methodology. And I think we got to a good place to produce this current master credential list, but frankly, it's a continuing conversation on how to improve upon that methodology.
One last follow-up.
You're recognized.
And how do you specifically factor in the local or the regional discussions that are being had to make sure that that's also rolling up within?
You're recognized.
That's a great question, and that's part of the conversations that we have. Right now we have the statewide data. And we have the Labor Market Estimating Conference, while we're trying to work through the methodology for the local data, we've been able to take into consideration some labor market information from the Department of Economic Opportunity to account for that local need while we are working through the methodology for the Labor Market Estimating Conference. I hope that answers the question.
Thank you very much for your questions. And Ranking Member Tant, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm thinking through the master credentials. I'm going to ask another question about that. In respect to rural counties that will maybe not have the same robust infrastructure as some of our more urban areas, how are we focusing on them to make sure that when they have limited resources, maybe in the educational sphere or workforce sphere, that when we say these are the courses that we're offering in CTE, and then we decide that's not what we need and we remove them, how much notice are we giving them? How is that process working to make sure that the unique abilities of our rural areas are considered?
Yep.
You're recognized, Ms. Crowfoot.
That's a great question. So we are, and we're currently working through that. This is really the first year of implementation for the Master Credentialist. We received the Labor Market Estimating Conference data in the fall. So what we have right now is we will have the statewide Master Credentialist, for all intents and purposes, adopted hopefully today, and then that portal will open the 10th, and then over the next quarter, we will look to identify local demand, like I alluded to earlier. The statute creates a process where every quarter we will add to the Master Credentialist, and then once a year, we run everything back through the framework to create that new Master Credentialist, and then again, the process starts where the local demand can come back in, if that makes sense.
Follow-up? You're recognized?
Yes, Madam Chair. So that is really, really good news. The other thing is I want to remind, I guess it's not really so much of a question, is we do have broadband access issues in our rural communities, and there are 29 fiscally restrained counties who may, you know, not have some of the resources that we do in other areas. So I wanted to remind you of that while we're talking. And, you know, obviously in some of our rural areas, and I'm not an expert on rural, I just have two new counties and I'm learning on the learning curve, we have things like fisheries, we have timber, we have transportation of timber, we have farming and nursery ornamentals. So they're very different than some of our other areas. So is it possible to put somebody with rural expertise in this planning process?
Madam Chair.
You're recognized.
Thank you. Yes, and I would need to double check, but I'm pretty sure that the statute actually has a member from a rural local workforce development board appointed to the CRC. So we have to have that voice at the table.
Yep. Thank you, Ranking Member Tant. Representative Plasencia, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the presentation. Hello. My question is regarding CareerSource. Where can I find the letter grade that's assigned or is earned?
Yep.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So CareerSource has a great website about all about the REACH Act. And you can go to, I believe, you go to the CareerSource webpage and then you click on Boardroom. There's a drop down and it says REACH Act. And then below that, when you click on that, there's a whole letter grade section where you can access. Yes, they're nodding that I'm correct. Ask to access the letter grades for each local board. And we're also happy to provide that to you after the meeting as well.
I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Follow-up? You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So my next question is, it's a follow-up to the first one, and that is, in regards to those grades, did the end user have any impact on that grade? In other words, the person using their services, whether they are just applying or at the end of their stay with CareerSource, do they have any impact on the grade that they receive?
So, Madam Chair, can I ask for some clarification? So, I don't think I'm understanding the question. I'm sorry.
Sure. So, the grade that they received regarding the work that they do.
Yes.
It's based on the work they do for the citizens, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do the citizens, as they're using the services, do they have any input on that grade?
So Madam Chair.
Yes. If I understand your question, I think what Representative Plasencia is looking for is how did you compile these letter grades? Maybe what were the metrics to determine the letter grades?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So there was not, I think I heard like a survey of like a satisfaction survey from the users of CareerSource. That was not included in the methodology and the formula. We focused on earnings. We focused on reduction in public assistance, employment and training outcomes. So we incorporated those federal measures within the letter grades. We didn't want to not account for those. So those have a weight of about 20% for the grade. We also focused on the percentage of clients that actually were receiving training, as that is kind of the main goal of the boards, is to help help receive training. And then we also talked. We also wanted to grade on how the boards were serving businesses. So we looked at business penetration for their region, as well as year over year continued repeat business. And then Finally, we focused a little bit on their funding and making sure that the amount of funding that they were receiving was what their statewide share was commensurate with the amount of people they were actually serving, and then extra credit for serving people on public assistance. So I don't know. I hope that answered your question. And if you have any input on how we can improve on the grades, I would love to talk about that as well.
It does, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, I just want to thank you for your presentation, Ms. Crowfoot. You did a very extensive deep dive into the REACH Act. Thank you, everyone, for your questions. They were very in-depth, and I love all the interest that we have. So, again, thank you very much for your presentation today.
Great. Thank you. And my office will follow up on the items we discussed. Thank you so much.
Members, I do sit on the Board of Directors for CareerSource. We are scheduled to have a meeting, I believe, next week. These meetings are available to any of you. You are able to attend these meetings. So, Representative Hinson, to address some of your questions about being able to attend, yes, you are. I encourage all of you to get involved. If you're interested, as you know, you're here on this committee, I'm seeing all of these questions, and you all seem very passionate about it. So I definitely encourage you to sit in on some of these board of director meetings, as well as visiting your local workforce boards. We have one even here in Tallahassee. If you're here next week and you have some time, please go by, call them, stop in, get involved with your local workforce boards as well. Find out how you can help and find out what they're doing in your districts and how they're helping your constituents. So that is very important. And thank you all today, again, for being here and for all of your interest and great questions today. So members, that concludes our agenda. And seeing no further business before the subcommittee, Representative Ranking Member Tant, she moves that we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.